This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled After the Resurrection, was delivered on April 19th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Vivian, for just pouring out your heart and getting us ready this morning. Man, I really do miss our church family, the fellowship, and of course the food, right? And the cookies, and the donuts that you all used to bring, the stuff that I'm not supposed to be eating. I cannot wait for the day that we will be back together and we will prepare a feast so that we can enjoy each other's company and break bread together. Well, hey, we're going to begin our service. We do still receive tithes and offerings, so if this is your home church and you're still working, and if you want to give, you have three ways to give. You can do mobile, you can text NHHI to 808-793-5588, or you can also connect to our online giving on our newhopeeasthawaii.com website, or old school like me, you can mail your checks in to our mailing address. Either way, but let's pray over the tithes and offerings. Lord, thank you so much that you have continued to bless our fellowship and our members. And Lord, I pray that as we receive the tithes and offerings, that we would use that to continue to get the word out that you are risen, you are alive, that you love us. And now more so ever, because we can do it through technology. So I know your words will go further than the walls of the building, but across the nation, the country, to the world, wherever you desire it to go. So Lord, this morning I ask you to bless the gift and the giver, and that we will continue to do your work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining us. Thank you for all those who are here helping me with all the technology side of things, because I'm not very technical, but there are some, we are under 10, so just to let you know, we are compliant, and we are trying to spread apart. But, oh, how was your Easter? I mean, for me, it was really different. Usually Easter, we have the family over, and no matter how old we are, we still color eggs. But not this year. It was different because we're practicing the social distancing. There was just my wife and I, and of course we enjoyed each other's company, and we've been spending a lot of time together, and we still love each other. We're not getting on each other's nerves. Well, she's not getting on my nerves. You might want to ask her if I'm getting on her nerves. It's just nice to have this time together, especially with all the stores shut down. There's no place to go shopping, you know what I mean. But for those of you who are tech savvy, I know you guys are doing Amazon. But Easter, you know, is like, is really a really, really high point for the Christian life, and because of Jesus coming back to life out of the tomb. And that's a big deal, because if he never did come back to life, he was never resurrected, then all of the stuff we do would be kind of useless, because he would still be dead. But he didn't stay dead. He came back to life, and so it was a great celebration. And then we come to the week after Easter, and it's okay. Well, oh, we got over that. Now what? You know, now what are we gonna through now, because Easter is done, the big event is done, this is the week after, and what do? Well, after Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples, and he gave them some final instructions or commands. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 28, Matthew 28 starting in verse 11. Matthew 28:11. Now while they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them large sum of money to the soldiers. So now Jesus rose from the grave. Mary Magdalene and other Mary discovered it. And the soldiers said, nah, he's gone. So they reported this to the elders. And so they kind of like bribed him and said, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. I guess because if something happened like this back then, the guards would be put to death because they let somebody get away. So, and they took the money and did as had been instructed. And the story was widespread among the Jews and is to this day. So after the resurrection, there was like a great stir in Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the Bible says, came to the tomb, and it was empty. And when they saw Jesus, he gave them instructions to go and tell the disciples. So the two Marys went, looking for the disciples to tell them the amazing news that Jesus was alive. And, you know, at the same time, there was a group of religious leaders who was plotting on how to cover up the resurrection of Jesus. You know, they bribed the guards to say that the disciples came at night and stole the body from the tomb. But if you understand how the tomb was built, there was like this huge rock, and there was like a track, and they kind of moved the stones, and the rock rolled over the entrance to the tomb. So guarantee you, it will take an army to move that rock away. So I don't know how they would have stolen it. But there was two groups of people. One was telling of the good news, one was telling a lie. And you know, even today there is controversy over the resurrection. And today there are still only two choices. You're either going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, or you're going to be close to the truth, denying it, ignoring it, and you may be trying to explain it away. And this morning, if you have your Bibles, follow along with us in the book of Matthew. We're going to look at some of the last words of Jesus and what he left for you and I. Because he just didn't die for our sins, rise from the grave, and go to heaven. He left us with instructions. And number one, if you have your outline, the first one is the Great Commission. And follow with me in Matthew 28:16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, because that's what they was instructed to do. At least we know these 11 guys couldn't follow instructions, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Could you imagine the feeling? You know, just like a few days earlier, they seen him bloody, beaten, torn apart, dying on the cross. And now they see him. Wow. They worship him. But some were doubtful. I would have probably been in the doubtful group, to be honest. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, now this is Jesus' word, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in verse 19, this is the Great Commission part. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission found in Matthew 28. What is it? What is the Great Commission? And what is the big deal? Jesus was crucified, put in a tomb. On the third day, he rose from the tomb. He appeared to Mary and instructed her to tell the disciples to leave for Galilee. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven to the Father to show himself, he showed himself to the disciples in Galilee and gave them and us some final instructions. And we call this the Great Commission. If we look at the word commission, it can be defined as a group of people authorized to carry out a task. Who is that group of people? It's you and that's me. We are authorized to carry out a task. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left us as the body of Christ. The Great Commission was the last personal order or task that Christ gave to his disciples. It wasn't Jesus' last words, but it was his last orders, and it should hold great significance to all or any who call themselves Christians. You know, think about how important are someone's last requests. What weight will it carry if it was given to you? If you had a loved one on their deathbed and they said something to you like, hey, when I am gone, take care of your siblings, or when I am gone, can you make up with your brother or your sister? If that was someone's last request on their deathbed, their dying words, how much weight would it carry? Would you go and carry it out? Jesus told us, you and I, his disciples, to go. You know the definition of the word go, right? It means to go, right? It doesn't mean to, I will wait at my desk and I'll wait till somebody comes up to me and say, hey, how do you be a disciple? How do you become a Christian? It doesn't say for us to wait for them to come to us, but we gotta go to them where they're at. It says to go and make disciples. We need to go and make disciples. But more important is we need to be disciples, because we cannot duplicate something that we're not. So if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, how can you go and make disciples? Are you being purposefully being discipled? Who is discipling you? And then who are you discipling? I believe Jesus' last command to his disciples is also a last command to you and I. The Great Commission is to be taken seriously. It's a call for you and I to take action. And it is the basis and the foundation of evangelism. But here, Jesus' last words can be found in Acts. So if you turn a little bit to the right, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then comes Acts in chapter 1, verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. In verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So the disciples right here, they were under Roman rule. And what they really, really wanted was for Jesus to be their physical king, to free Israel from Roman oppression. But Jesus replied that God the Father sets the timetable for all events worldwide, national and personal. It's God. The power, also the power which Jesus is talking about here, is the power that we will receive from the Holy Spirit. This power, kid, includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. And you can see this confidence if you read in Acts, if you read the Gospels, if you read all four Gospels, you know what kind of person Peter was. He was a guy who would speak when he shouldn't. He was a guy who put his foot in his mouth a lot of times. He was a guy who denied Jesus because they were saying he was the guy hanging around with him, and he denied. So you knew what he was, what kind of person he was. But if you read Acts, starting like verse 2 or 3, Peter is like a different person. He's like crazy bold, and he's speaking out. And you can see the change in his life. And in my life, I could see the change in the boldness of inviting people to church, to sharing Jesus with others. And it all comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples would need all of these gifts to fulfill the mission, the Great Commission. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. In Jesus' last words, he instructed his disciples to witness to people of all nations about him, which goes hand in hand with the words found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which is the Great Commission. So the thing is, God, Jesus, he has like some important heavy duty work for us to do for him. Not by your own power, it would be impossible. But what we must do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ was to spread throughout the world, from Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and finally to the ends of the earth. You can imagine if these 11 guys went chicken out and they went run away. Maybe if they did the Jonah on us. You know what? Jonah, remember Jonah, right? He went dig. God told him go there, he went there. You know, if these guys wouldn't do that, we wouldn't have none of this now. Christianity would be extinct. But because they did what Jesus said, they went and they did it, we get this now. So it started with these 11 in Jerusalem, then Samaria, then spread to the mixed races in Samaria, and finally to the Gentiles and all over the world. God's good news has not reached its final destination yet, because if God, the Bible said when it does, then he will come back. So I think might be getting soon, because with technology, this message can go out wherever technology is available. The good news about Jesus Christ is for us to go. It's our calling, it's our commission, it's our job to go and tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our job, our task, our commission is not done yet. Ask yourself this question: am I carrying out Jesus' last orders on a daily basis? Am I doing that on a daily basis? Am I making disciples? Am I being discipled? Okay, so If not, or if you are, that's great. But here is our action plan. Number two, take action. Like Nike said, just do it. Go and do it. Go and do it. Just go and get it done. If you call Jesus your Lord and your Savior, then you got to obey his commands. Luke 6, Jesus said this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred and the torrent burst against his house, it could not shake it. Is this COVID-19 shaking you? Or are you listening and doing God's word? So when all these storms is coming and slamming against us, you will not be shaken because your foundation is built on Jesus Christ. Okay, the house couldn't, and it could, it came against that house, it could not shake it because it had been well built. Okay, are you well built? But, you know, every time in the Bible it says but, oh, it's like, oh, now what? But the one who has heard, so those of you in the reach of my voice, you heard the Great Commission. But those of you have heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built his house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrents burst against it and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. So if you find yourself getting swept away by this COVID-19, man, come back to Jesus. Build your foundation on him. Do as he says so that you will not be like this house that collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Maybe you're shut in now because we are required to... Maybe you said, how can I go? I have to keep my social distance. And you know, I like the way we can justify everything we do by not doing it. You know, how can I do it? I gotta keep distance. Her, right at your fingertips, right on your iPhone, contacts, text message, email, paper and pencil, writing a letter. There's no excuse. Maybe somebody you love in your contacts that you have had in contact with a while, maybe you need to share this message with them. If you can't, then maybe send them a text. Somebody out there needs to hear of hope. Somebody who may not know Jesus Christ, who may be so in fear of this COVID-19 that they are locked down, shut in, locked the doors, and they don't even answer their phone. Or they dare not go out. There's somebody that you may know that is in that state. Man, a text, an email, a letter could save their lives. Take the command of Jesus, the Great Commission, and take action. Isaiah 50 says this, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. If you know scripture, that's why I ask you to read, memorize, write down scripture, because sometimes you see somebody who is in terrible fear, and if you know the scriptures, you can tell them immediate fear. Because the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear or of timidity. I mean, that can sustain the weary one with that word. Okay. Then he continues. He awakens me morning by morning. How many of you got up this morning? Yes. Who made you get up? He awakens me morning by morning. Why? So you can sit on your couch, watch TV, and eat potato chips? No! He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. And get this. And I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. So here, Isaiah, the prophet, is talking about the qualifications of his calling to speak words of encouragement to Israel, and how daily God gives him life to be a disciple, to be obedient. You and I, we may have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but see, that's not the end. You receiving Jesus Christ, you receiving salvation, eternal life, that's not the end. If that was the end, soon as you ask Jesus to be your Lord, and poof, you'd be gone, you'd be in heaven. But that's like the beginning. The beginning, because now you are called to the Great Commission. It's the beginning of a commission to serve God, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to speak hope into the life of someone who has no hope, to speak life when there is no life. In the Bible, which we encourage you to read, there are words of life, all that point to a relationship with God, to Jesus Christ. I had many teachers who took the time to share words of life with me, and I am forever grateful for their words that kept me moving forward. You can be the one to share words of life to someone who is weary. Jesus' last command to us was, go, make disciples. What is a disciple? A learner, a follower, a learner of Christ, a follower of Christ. So we can read this as, go and bring people to Christ. Teach them. How do we make followers? I mean, you cannot put a gun to his head, their head, and say, you follow Jesus. All you need to do is you be a good example. All you need to do is plant that seed. They might, the seed, you ever planted a seed? You put the seed in the ground, and what, you get one plant tomorrow? No. Doesn't work that way, right? You put the seed in the ground, and maybe a week later something sprouts out. It doesn't happen automatically, but go plant the seed so one day it'll grow, and then we'll start discipling them. You need to be a good example and just do what God says. Just plant the seed, make disciples, share with people. What if this pandemic went on and on and on? God forbid it, because I would die of lack of fellowship with you, personal fellowship. What if it did carry on? How many people that you know would die without Jesus? Think about that. Because right now, we got time during the day. Especially if you cannot go to work. We got time to send out that email, send out that text message. And I think, you know, back when Jesus spoke the Great Commission, they never had an iPad with Facebook and FaceTime. But I think if you'd be sending out messages, I would think God would consider that part of going. Okay? Because part of not going is you'd be over there staring at your Facebook page, waiting for somebody. Come on, tell me. Tell me you want to know about Jesus. I'm waiting. No, but you can go and send that message out. So, you know, do that. Because this is the week after the resurrection. This is when the work really, really begins. Because this is when Jesus gave us all these instructions. Okay? Easter is a big deal. But after that, then it's our turn to roll up our sleeves and get going doing God's work. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So if you guys out there, type amen. So everything just going to light up the screen, say amen. Hey, for those of you who just never had the chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, hey, I want to give you that chance right now. Even from this distance, you can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and repeat this prayer after me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if you need information on being discipled, on having a relationship with Jesus, I want to send you one of these. So if you want one of these, send me your physical mailing address so I can get this out to you. You can email me your address at newhopeeasthawaii@hotmail.com, all lowercase, one word, newhopeeasthawaii@hotmail.com. This is a wonderful booklet put out by our Four Squares Mission Press, but I'd love to send you one of these, all right? And if you need more than one copy because somebody you know received Jesus, then, you know, I'll send you more. And if I run out of copies, praise the Lord, because I will order more to send out to you. Amen? Well, hey, I cannot wait for the day that we can physically meet again. But until then, hey, air hug, because I love you all. God bless you. And take this message, okay? Live it. Apply it. Don't let it just get into your head and, you know, get it from your head and drop it down into your heart. Don't miss it by 18 inches or 12 inches. Depends how tall you are. Get it into your head, drop it into your heart, let it come out of your hand in action. Amen. God bless you all. I really, truly miss you and I love you. Have a fantastic week. And we see you hopefully sooner than next week Sunday, and maybe I'll get to post some devotions for you. But love you all and take care.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii typically meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii. During the quarantine, we are meeting online with Facebook Live. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.